Welcome to Arts in Review. And first up, we have the Coin and Ghost Theater Company. And we're going to explain what that means. We have the artistic director and director of this play. And we also have the playwright, who's also in the play. So I have to introduce them. And welcome, sir. Why am I missing this? Zachary Reeve Davidson.
Hello.
And the playwright, it's all over my page here. I'll find it and guess. Stan Mayer.
That's me. Hello.
Now, you wrote this in collaboration with somebody else, didn't you?
Cecilia Fairchild, yes.
Uh-huh. So I have to ask you, Mr. Davidson, how did Coin and Ghost get the play?
Yeah, so the first show we ever did as a company was back in fall 2017, and Cecilia, who was Stan's writing partner for this one, wrote that inaugural piece for us. And she had brought Stan into a couple rehearsals. I knew very quickly that Cecilia was one of my favorite playwrights, end of sentence. She is extraordinary, her poetry, her prose. She understands people in a way that I have not seen a lot in terms of playwriting. And I just quickly became such a huge fan of her work. And she brought Stan into a couple rehearsals because the show that we were working on had some veteran characters, and Stan, with his background, may have some light to shed on them. And he started telling stories and just blew me away. And what I realized, almost as quickly as I realized that Cecilia is one of my favorite playwrights ever, is that Stan is one of the best pure storytellers I've met in my life. So we got towards the end of that process, and I reached out to the two of them and said, this feels like a natural next step. I would love to work with the two of you on something that you write together. I don't know if that's a way that you've collaborated before, but I would be interested in seeing what we can make. And that was our jumping off point. That was late 2017 when we started kicking around this idea, and it evolved several times since then, and ultimately turned into this play that we have now, that we know and love.
And it's called Mama, Mama, Can't You See? It opened November 10th at the studio stage, and it's running through December 10th. November 10th, that's the birth of the U.S. Marines.
That's correct. We started in a bar in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
So, is this the first play you've written?
I've messed around with some plays before that were more or less dalliances or practice for me to figure out how I might want to tell a story. And what I found out is that I prefer the discipline of writing plays to writing long-form prose, because I can kind of, after the characters reveal themselves to me, they kind of start talking, and I'm lazy, so they do the work for me. I just let them do their thing, and that's kind of fun, to be surprised by your own stories and your own words in that way.
When I was reading about the play, I was interested. It's a play about war, but it's not about war. It's about a play about telling about war.
That's true. You know, the thing about this is what I've learned telling war stories, which I do a lot. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible to relay the gravity of the truth of that moment as you stand in those boots on the ground with all of that chaos, all of that weirdness, because it is surreal. And I use this adage a lot, that in order for me to see a war story that's accurate, it's less a documentary and more like the bodies of your friends will get up and sing at barbershop quartet at some point, because it's that weird and that odd. So when you're trying to get that truth across, I found that it's more complicated than it might seem. Even if you have your facts straight and you have the truth and you check with your buddies and say, did that actually happen? Yeah, okay. And this is where we were. So Mama Mama, as a practice or a process, it just started with me trying to write a war story, and I kept on stumbling into a new version of it after I've finished every time, and it just kind of like an echo of the last one, but new details will come out, and then old details will not be as relevant as the last ones. And so I realized that it's more important to bring people in to show the kind of loop of trauma or high fidelity experience, as someone might call it, that changes every time or brings new things to light every time. And that loop is more about how to tell a story about trauma or war, about life, about love, anything. And that's more interesting to me than just a straightforward, like, My War by Me documentary.
Now, it's set in Iraq, and the play concerns three Marines played by Julian Joaquin, Ryan Nebreja, and Jack Rocklin Walsh. And they are, they deal surrealistically, I guess, with four sex workers from the Civil War who seem to have quite a reach. And they're portrayed by Marguerite French, Kathleen Leary, Kareen Ross, Mercutian, and Hannah Trujillo. And there's a swing, Stefana Lee, who joined together across time. So, as a director, how did you conceive to put these people together, sir?
So this pairing was all Stan and Cecilia, but what I love about it is that ostensibly Stan could tell the story of the play is rooted in an experience from his first tour, a moment from that tour that has continued to echo over the past, what is it now, 18 years. And ostensibly, you could tell that story with just the Marine characters. You don't need other characters to tell about what happened. But the fact that they wrote these four other characters in and they made them so central to this play tells me that what Stan and Cecilia wrote is not a play about what happened to Stan. It is about how do you give that story away? How do you receive that story? Who else is involved? Who else has to bear witness? Who else has to carry that story? I'll let Stan touch more on how they ended up with that pairing of the four Marines and the four horrors from the Civil War.
You know, Cecilia Fairchild is I don't throw the word around often, but a genius
level. That's exactly the word I was going to use.
Writer. She has a direct tap into the wellspring of humanness that a lot of writers will mine for their entire career or practice in writing, and she just gets it at a molecular level. And she also, when you collaborate with her, is savagely committed to not diluting her co-conspirator or co-collaborator's words in honor of hers. So you get, sometimes when that happens, you get two strong voices colliding that are dedicated to themselves. But when you separate the ego from that, you get this other thing. When she first brought up the idea, because, you know, Zach asked us for this play about, like, my experiences, these stories that were dear to him. And some of that is very precious to you, especially when there's trauma involved and when, you know, some of my buddies did not come home and everything. I honor these memories and I'm very reverent to them. And then Cecilia's like, I think that there's a prostitute from the Civil War here narrating. And like, hold on a second, you know, like, when Doc died in my arms, you know. And and the more we talked about it, the more I realized how right she was, that you can't speak to the truth if you're looking for truth and the gravitas of war without bringing in this other aspect. Who carries us when we come home? Who holds that flag when it's folded for them or presented at the funeral? Who is at home muffling the sounds of their cries so as to not upset the father? It's the mother that is vacuuming so that she can kind of hide that noise. And they have to exist without us. Or imagine my sisters, like, what will this be like when my brother doesn't come home? And it's really hard to imagine that. I can't tell you a true war story about these boys that served in these combat situations without explaining the other equal and opposite reaction that's on the other side of the earth, which is these women that held us.
Wow. The name of the play is Mama, Mama, Can You See? It opened December 10th. and it's running through November 10th, and it's running through December 10th, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 7 p.m. You are dark over the Thanksgiving weekend.
That is correct.
And the tickets can be gotten by, you can go online. They're available at coinandghost.org. And you're performing at Studio Stage, which is located at 520 Northwestern Avenue, LA 90004. So you've opened already. How has the audience reaction been?
Really, really beautiful.
Oh, good.
A brief primer, because it seems necessary. This is a show that we've tried to do before. It was supposed to open on March 20th of 2020. Never got to open because of the pandemic. And then we went through several phases of thinking we were going to be able to bring it back, only to have new variants shut those processes down. We were finally able to open it last summer for a very abbreviated run. And it felt like not enough time to really discover what the work was. But the other thing that has really shifted in this process, so over the past year, Stan has been editing the piece. We've reworked the choreography. We've been blessed to be joined by a number of new collaborators. A lot of this cast is new to the process this time around. But one of the big things that's shifted is how we're talking about the show. This idea that it's not a play about war, it's a play about how to tell a war story offers a framing that has really, I think, shifted the way audiences are receiving the work. Last time we did it, the response was overwhelmingly positive, particularly, I would say, from our veteran and military family audiences were coming to it and saying, oh, I think a lot more civilian audiences need to see this if they want to understand what it felt like for us to go through this. But a lot of folks were saying, why are there four horrors from the Civil War? and I think this time around, one of the things that's really shifted for us, in addition to getting to clarify this piece based on everything we learned from this last time around, is how are we talking about the show? How are we framing the piece? Because we, inside the room, we know why everyone is there. We know why the story is being told this way, why it needs to be told this way. And so we've been able to offer our audiences that insight as well. And I think that's really shifted the way people have received this work.
Now, I want to give our KPFK family an opportunity to see this show. They are kindly offering two pairs of tickets for free. All you have to do is identify yourself as a member of KPFK. That means you're a dues-paying member helping keeping this station move along. All you have to do is call 818-985-5735 or 818-985-KPFK. Can they go to any performance?
Absolutely. We will honor those tickets at any performance until the end of our run, pending availability.
Yeah, and that's running, as I stated before, Thursday through Saturday at 8 and Sundays at 7. So once again, that's 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We're really near the end of our time, but I have to ask you, when you first performed this before an audience, were you surprised where the laughs were?
I'm going to say no. I think a friend of mine asked recently if it has felt heavy to me to carry this show with us for so long. And it hasn't felt heavy to me, because I think this is a show that has a lot of life and a lot of love built into every aspect of it. There are laughs. It is enlightening. It is beautiful. It is sweet. It is tender. It happens to be built around these moments that are rooted in some deeply traumatic moments for Stan, but he has so generously offered these moments up as a way for all of us to learn and grow and evolve as people. It doesn't surprise me where the laughs are, because it's a beautiful show that shares its light as it goes.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here.
I was just going to say that I find some audience members saying, like, everything was so funny, I was afraid to laugh because it feels so reverent. And say, like, you please laugh. And some audiences just get it, and they roll the whole time.
Yes. I want to thank you. And for you, Stan, of course, I want to thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
And I want to thank you, Director, for creating a theater company. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
And this is Julio Martinez from KPFK's Arts and Review.